Dear God, your word is amazing. And as always, it dissects us and sees the depths of our heart. I just pray today, God, that nobody rejects what your word wants to say to them today. That wisdom is received. That your word counteracts the devil's brew. And those that have drinking it through whatever means they have, today you would prove, as always, God, that you have made the devil of no effect. You actually made a public spectacle of him when you died on the cross. You are our truth serum, and we want to drink deep from that today. Tell us what you want us to hear. Teach us the things we need to know. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. What we've been reading has been very different than anything else that's in the Bible. The reason being, as we talked about this, if you were not here, the first week that we looked into the book of Ecclesiastes, we looked and we said something extremely hard to swallow, something that will stick in your craw like nothing else. We said that the Bible is truth, but not all of it is true. And we said, wait a second, what's that supposed to mean? This kind of breaks my, I'm supposed to think that all the Bible is true, and if I don't, then I might not be a Christian, or whatever it is that your brain does in times of seeming contradiction or the attempt at cracking one's foundational belief. What we are looking at here is the rambling writings of a man who has lost his way. It's toward the end of his life and his many sexcapades, his much drug abuse, his much experience has rendered some of the things that he has done stupidity. There's no other way to put it. So when reading the book of Ecclesiastes, you can't read it and quote big heaping portions from Ecclesiastes as a promise from God. You can't. You have to read it and learn from it, because in good and bad, everything we're reading is true. This will make more sense as we get into it. Let me explain to you what happens in the heart of a human being. There's a crazy thing that happens. During the creation of every human being, God puts in you this desire to worship. And for young boys, for young daughters, is daddy. Man, I remember growing up, my daddy was like 10 feet tall. We used to have a saying in my house. It was just me and my brother, actually. Said, you know, God's the strongest in the world. And we didn't grow up as Christians, but somehow we had this semi-generic viewpoint of God. God's the strongest in the world. Joe Frazier is the second strongest, and Dad's the third strongest. If you don't know who Joe Frazier is, a very famous boxer. My father's good friends with him. To me, he was Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe is the strongest, you know, because he's a world champion. He's a world champion. Me and my brother said, Daddy's third, though. Daddy's right behind Joe Frazier and God. Now, as a young boy, you look to your daddy for leadership, for guidance, for security. You look at Dad and you want to be like him. When Josiah was just a boy, he always wanted to be like his daddy. He walked like me. He talked like me. When Josiah was just 4 or 5 years old and you used to talk to him, he didn't talk like, have you ever seen a little kid that talks and sometimes they have squeaky voices? He wouldn't. He'd go, he'd talk like me. He'd go, yeah, me and my daddy go snake hunt tonight. I said, why does he talk like that? He goes, that's how I talk. You see, he walked. You see my son walk? You get that walk from? It's from his daddy. Unfortunately, the devil knew that too, right from the beginning. And the first thing he did with large swaths of arrows taking people's fathers out of their lives. And what happens when you take the father out of the life of a person, man or woman, they attach whatever it is that they admire. Because, as I said, man was created to worship. And when I say man, I mean man and woman. I grew up and dad wasn't around much. Dad had his thing he was doing and mom had her thing that she was doing. So we grew up, we fell in love with our music. My older brother, God rest his soul, he was into this band called The Grateful Dead. There was a guy that sang in Grateful Dead. His name was Jerry Garcia. Big fat guy. He put his guitar on his belly and he'd sing. And he'd sing songs about smoking herb and maybe I'm going to hell in a bucket, but at least I'm enjoying the ride. And he'd travel all around the country with his band. They'd play 10, 12 shows. They were famous for their jam sessions. And because we didn't have a sturdy father figure, Jerry Garcia became my brother's father. Now, he wouldn't say my father's Jerry Garcia, but that's who his daddy was. And just like Jerry Garcia, my brother died at a very young age of drug abuse. You see this happen in the ghettos. The fatherless rate amongst the black community is at 70% now. 70%. So when you wonder what's happened to these communities, they're being raised by P. Diddy. They're being raised by Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're being raised by the same people whom they have focused their attention on. Because that's why, I've told this story before. I was in prison in 1996 and 97. And while I was in prison, Tupac Shakur died. And I got up one day. I used to have a job. I was in PM food service. So I'd go to the kitchen. I'd have to start lunch with everybody and mop up, clean the trays, you know. And when I got out, I seen all the TVs were on silent. And everywhere, brothers was, oh, man. And I was like, I said to one of my boys, what's going on, man? Yo, man, they shot Tupac. I said, what do you mean they shot Tupac? Tupac. Sorry, I always get in trouble for saying that wrong. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, rapper Tupac Shakur? He's like, yeah, man. I was like, screw him. What do I care about him for? And his dude grabbed me. He's like, dude, don't say that again. Bro, we're going to have a war up in this piece if you say that again. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, man, people take this serious, man. This is their... And that was my first introduction to, which is, it shouldn't have been, because I was a huge Doors fan. You young kids have no idea maybe who the Doors are, but the Doors were fronted by a lead singer named Jim Morrison. He was all charisma. His voice was deep and rich, and when he sang, man, he just grabbed our hearts. We would sit on a corner, much like this time of the year. We hung out in a schoolyard called 63. Our was PS 63, and at night, the ice would be on the floor and the snow would be on top of it, and we'd have these zip-up, what were they called? Did you say onesie? You smack that kid right now. Ever say that again. It was a long jacket. It went down here. When you zip it up, it had this round thing. Yeah. It's like an Eskimo jacket. And we'd sit there, and we'd have a beer in our hand, our hands in our pocket. We'd always share gloves because everybody either lost the gloves, didn't bring them out. And we'd sit there telling each other we're having a great time. We sing. I woke up this morning and I got myself a beer. Banana, na na na. Well, I woke. And we'd sit there and we'd sing and we'd worship the God of our Father. And we all started to talk like Jim Morrison and act like Jim Morrison and die like Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison was 27 years old and he died of drug addiction, drug abuse in a bathtub in Paris. And here we were doing our best to become alcoholics just like him. The book of 3 John says, do not imitate what is evil. Well, we didn't have fathers, most of us. Our fathers were either drunks or gone or whatever. So we adopted our fathers because our fathers would not adopt us, and we became like our fathers. And your father. Sorry. You know, in Scripture, there's only one time that the Lord Jesus didn't refer to God as his Father. That was when he was on the cross. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Father would never forsake you. And I think that is really important to set the record straight here. Solomon, in all his writings, whether it's the Proverbs or it's the Psalms that are accredited to him or Ecclesiastes, he loved his daddy. He always talked about his father David, David the king, the father David. David, we love our fathers. And we have got to get that straight in our head. For you here, whose parents have not lived up, they're on a sliding scale. Some of them kind of just suck, like me and my wife, but some of them are really bad. Some of them are really bad. Some of our parents didn't give us much of a... If you ever had a parent who said, you don't do as I do as I say, that's not good. That's a crappy parent. Never works. Your kids are always going to outdo you. You drink, they're going to drink more. You smoke, they're going to smoke worse. You're promiscuous, they're going to be more. It's just the way it is. So I think before we even get to the point of the actual Bible study today, understand this: as a Christian, if you want your life to be changed, you must reckon God as Christ reckoned him, Father. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, which we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba, you guys remember the 70s band Abba? That means daddy. It's almost like a slang term for your daddy, my big daddy. That's my daddy. He's your father. And I think that's really hard for some. So when you say to me, I've struggled. All of my kids have all had a time where they started listening to secular music. Oh, what's the big deal? It's just music. It's not like I'm listening to satanic music. Because it's not honoring your father. Not me. Your father in heaven. What's the difference? Because, doggone it, I know what's good for you as your father on earth. And that's not good for you. It's poisoning you. And I'm jealous. I'm jealous for you. Not that you're listening to this other music and I'm jealous that you're not. I'm jealous for you. You're not doing right by yourself. Nothing hurts a father more than to see his kids not taking care of themselves. If any of you guys have multiple children, when they're mean to each other, you just want to beat the crap out of them. Be nice to your sister! One of the hardest things for me was embracing God as my father. Because kids do the craziest thing. You know, the worse your father is, the more you love him. The more you protect him. Because know this, the line between love and hate is as thin as the hair on your head. And you can truly only love somebody you hate, and you can only hate somebody you loved. You can't hate somebody you don't know. Not truly. I had to embrace God as my father. That means I had to start seeing my father for what he really was. And that hurt so much. Because he was the strongest person in the world. Except for Joe Frazier, of course. And I think that for some of us, this is where we need to do. We need to embrace. No, my daddy's God. And here's what God's given me. Here's what my daddy's given me. Instructions. And I have to abandon, you ready? We've been talking about this over the last few months. I have to abandon my culture, my Italian-American culture, my Hispanic culture, my black culture. I have to abandon anything that I have that keeps me from doing my father's will. Because now my father's God. And my father, he knows me best. And he knows what's best for me. And as a father of six children, he knows what's best for my children. That was hard, man, and it takes a long time. And you know, you'll see every once in a while somebody who doesn't need a father. You know why? Because they've become their own father. The psychotherapists have a name for that. It's called a God complex. Some people who worship themselves. My father was one of those. Not even a narcissist. It's worse than a narcissist. My father, he had a discussion one time. There was a pastor at church named Generino DiStefano. And he one time was talking to my father. My father, he was going to go up and check out this church I started going to. What is this cult my son's going to now? It's this cult. We're Catholics. Dad, we haven't gone to Catholic church in ever. We're Catholic. Pope's our God. All right, Daddy. So I moved down to Florida. I start going to this church, and he's going to go up, and he's going to straighten us out. He's going to see what kind of cult I'm going to. This little Generino DiStefano, who is probably half the size of my father. My father's an intimidating. He said, who do you call on when things are tough? Huh? What? Who do you call on when things in your life are at their absolute worst? And my father said to Generino, I look inside myself and I find the strength within me. And he said, and that's the difference between you and your son. Your son has given his life to Jesus Christ and now finds his strength in Jesus Christ. You see, Ron, it was my father's name, Rinaldi, you are your own God. And your son, he's not his own God. He has a God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, did I need a father? He tried. He did. He wanted. You know, our fathers that are the ones that are here that have bad fathers, it's not that they didn't love us here. They didn't love us here where it counted. They didn't love us indeed. They only loved us in emotion. Greatest days of my life. And I looked at God and I said, Daddy. Every once in a while, you'll meet somebody. I know a few people. I know their names in my head when you pray with them. You guys know Eddie Abraham, who taught at the church for me last year? Eddie, whenever you pray with Eddie, he calls him Daddy. He goes, Daddy, we want to thank you. He calls God Daddy. I love that. He knows. If you want success in your life, if you want to do better than your parents, if you don't want to screw up your kids like your parents screwed up your kids, his kids, you got to make God your daddy. And if you're here and you've not yet made God your daddy, and you think that you're okay, and you're going to do better than your parents, you're kidding yourself. You're going to be worse than your parents unless your daddy is better than your daddy. Does that make any sense? My daddy is better than my father. And my father turned out better than my daddy. And I learned how to love my parents even after my eyes were open. Because here's the last thing before we get to tonight's word. When your eyes are open to how bad parents you had, that love, which was irrational, that you had for them, will turn to hate. And you'll resent them. But when you have God as your father, instead of resent, you'll have sympathy and empathy. I always said I'm going to be better parent than my parent. But I didn't start out that way. I started out worse parent until I made God my father. And now I only surpassed my earthly father because I was aiming at my heavenly father. I hope that makes sense to some of you guys, especially you guys that got babies growing inside you. This is important. Verse 1, chapter 5, the book of Ecclesiastes, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Okay, so Solomon now starts to give us an understanding of, let me put it this way. Ladies, if you ever wondered what it is that we do at the men's meeting, we go through the book of Proverbs. We start a proverb and we start reading it and then we talk about it. I would like to do that interactively. And the reason I want to do that interactively tonight is because this chapter is like the chapter in a chapter in Proverbs. We must spit out the bones knowing where. When I say spit out the bones, we got to decide whether he's talking from his stupidity right now or his wisdom, which was great. So, does anybody want to take a stab at that? Verse 1, chapter 5, anybody want to take a stab at that? What does that mean? What do you think? What are you seeing there, Tom? Which one you got? Which translation? Ooh. Huh? What was that? You guys all hear that? So, anybody want to take a stab at what that might mean? One of you ladies? Miss Mickey?
Because it becomes rogue after a while, and you just do it because I go to church every Sunday because it's just what I'm supposed to do, and then, but there's no heart in it.
Well, let's define. I agree 100%. But what does the word prudently mean? Does anybody know what the word prudent means? Huh? Thoughtful. Anybody else?
King James says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house. Keep thy foot.
Good. Walk prudently, keep thy foot. That definitely opens that translation up a little bit. Prudently is to consider the future with every step. Should I do this? If I do this, now I don't know if you you grew up in the same time. I don't know if they still use the word. Did anybody ever hear the word Prudy Baker? Little Miss Prudy Baker? All the girls that wouldn't give it up in high school, we call them prudes. That girl's a prude. That's a good name. Back then, I bet it wasn't fun. So the girls who thought about their future and wouldn't have sex before marriage or they grew up, they were prudes. That's almost like calling somebody special and trying to put down. Brooke, oh, you're so special. Thank you. So, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. What's the sacrifice of fools? Speaking without thinking. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not anybody know what rash means? Hasty? Quick? Yes. And let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Now, personally, I think that Solomon hit the nail on the head with these couple. I think one of the first things that, if you guys ever remember, I've told this story, one of the first things that I ever heard God say to me that I actually listened to was shut up. I was the guy that went to church. I think he says this, and I think he says that. I love that pastor. Everybody's in a circle. Oh, man. Tells me to shut up while I'm preaching. Constantly. Listen to verse 3. It's amazing. See if anybody can take this one on. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. For no reason at all. What are you seeing there, bro? Yeah, you. A dream comes through much activity. It's a toughie. But let me explain to you. Is anybody who has it? What's your version say, bro? Tom. Anybody else have a different version besides the New King James? What you got? Hold on. Go ahead. Say, what is it? You see, I don't like that first part of it, and I don't like that interpretation. I don't think it's wrong, but let me tell you how I say it. What does yours say?
NIV says, a dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool.
I'll tell you how I got this. Any of you guys have dreams of starting your own business? Any of you guys have dreams of one day becoming a good mom or a good wife? Any of you guys ever have dreams of someday being greater than you are today? How do you accomplish it? By breaking your butt and working at it. A dream comes through much activity. One of my daughters was like me. She was a dreamer. And she was going to one day take a bus, and she was going to sing for American Idol. And she was going to be discovered. And we used to say, Ash, baby, if you want to be a singer, we'll get you voice lessons. She'd sing in the shower. You hear her sing in the shower. All of a sudden, she'd say, oh, man. And my wife would be like, honey, can't you teach that child to sing? If you were at my mother's funeral, when she said she wanted to sing a song, we were like, oh, man. Couldn't say no to her because my mother would have loved that. My mother, believe me, she was sitting back there. No matter what she sounded like, she would have been singing along with her. And she opened her mouth to sing, and we were like, oh, my goodness. She did quite well. She did nice. Dreams don't come to pass through dreaming about it. I know these days kids, they want to be like gamers on, they want to be PewDiePie. They want to start a YouTube channel and be, man, you think I've had very little, but I've had some success on YouTube. Some of our videos have million views, hundreds of thousands of views. And oh man, I want to do that. I want to have, listen, just keep making them. Just keep doing it. Just keep making them. Oh, and these kids these days, they want to make one video. They want to put it up and they want to watch it every day. What? You can't get a million views by watching it yourself. That's not how it works. You just got to keep doing it and keep doing it. You see, a dream is accomplished by working at it. And that's the way I took that. And because he opposites it afterward, he says, a fool's voice is known by his many words. Just talks about it a lot. I'm gonna go to American Idol and I'm gonna be discovered. Yeah. Start a band, okay? If you really want to be a musician, start a band and start playing clubs. Continuing. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. If God lets me hit the lottery, I'm going to give him 50%. Well, the government's going to take 50%. 10%. God, if you would only let this happen, then I'm going to go to church every week. If you would just get me a job. He says, whoa, cowboy. He says, when you make a vow to God and it comes to pass, do it. Do it. Immediately. It's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Man, I think, I personally still, if you guys are with me, I think Solomon's right on in this one. What do you guys think? He's still walking with his father. No question. Verse 6. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there's also vanity, but fear God. My father used to tell me, son, don't let your mouth write a check that your butt can't cash. Anybody ever hear that? You heard that? I was a little guy growing up and always, man, I wanted a scrap. And my father used to say, boy, don't let your mouth write a check that your butt can't cash. Someday, you're going to push me too far, Dad. My dad, you say, anytime. You want it, come get it.
Reminds me of Acts, Ananias, he gave a prophet to God.
Perfect. Now, see, what he just did, he's correlated an Old Testament verse with a New Testament. If you guys remember, from Acts chapter 4, Ananias and Sapphira, they sell their home and they go to the apostles and they say, hey, this is all the money we got from the sale of our house. He said, hey, we didn't ask you to bring that to us. But did you come here and decide to lie? Did you conspire with each other to lie to the Holy Spirit? And the guy falls down dead. Ananias dies right there. And then the wife comes and lies again and she falls down dead. It's one of the things we're kind of glad God doesn't do right now, right? An ASB, go ahead. Boy, that's a nice literal translation right there. You see, you hear that one? You hear that? Now, guys, while we're talking about this, some of you guys might be like, man, what kind of study are we doing today? We're doing the perfect kind of study. We're doing something that you could take wisdom from and go, that's mine. I'm going to take that. I'm going to start living that out. Let me take that, put that right in my pocket. I'm going to start living that out. So the translation, the literal translation of what she just read from the NASB is, my wife always says to me something funny. She always says, honey, I hope I die before you. I'm like, honey, that's terrible. She goes, I don't want to be in back of you in the line waiting for you to give an account for all those idle words. Like, that's not funny. You just say crazy things and God's going to take you. I say silly. You guys have heard this before. I don't know if it's your culture or not. It's my culture. In my house, when we were eating dinner, my brother used to constantly eat with his hand. My father would say, if you eat your hand one more time, I'm going to stab you in the neck with this knife. Now, he never stabbed us with a knife. He never did that. It's like a New York Italian thing. I'm going to smack your head off your shoulders. He's not going to really do it. And when first few times I did that to my kids, she's like, what did you just say? Honey, I'm not really going to do it. Why would you even say that, though? I don't know. My father used to always say it to me. You always do what your father says? Unfortunately. Verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 8. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher official watches over them. Has any of you guys been watching the news lately? You're watching MSNBC, CNN, Fox, whatever it is, and you're like, you know what? My stomach is turning. I'm sick to death of what these politicians are doing and trying to do. I can't even watch this junk anymore. I literally get angry. I think I yell at my wife more because I've watched the news before we got into a discussion than anything else. Here, Solomon, who rightly nails it, says, you know why? Because there's men. Instead of everybody taking God on and having a theocracy, would you want to live in a theocracy? Yeah! Oh, but what about the Third Amendment and I want to go to heaven where it's a theocracy. Moreover, the profit of the land is for all. Even the king is served from the field. Does anybody know what that means? Very interesting. Do you know who should be our biggest heroes in this country? Anybody? Our farmers. And do you know we treat them like crap? Let me let you in a little secret. We are in the most blessed country on the face of the planet. Does anybody know how much storehouse of food we have? Anybody want to take a wild stab? Let's say the sun ceased to shine. Anybody ever see that movie, The Walk? The Road, thank you. Don't watch it. It'll haunt you forever. Horrible movie. Really watch it because it's really good. But don't watch it. It's horrible. Does anybody know if, let's say, the sun refused to shine from now on, the sun don't come up from now, does anybody know how much food we have stored up in this country? 30 days. 30 days. You guys were in a hurricane last week? Let's ask a question. Last year? You went into Publix a week after the hurricane. No food, right? What do you think you're going to do? What if those trucks, what if the roads really did get washed out? What if a real major, something crazy happened and Florida got cut off and the trucks couldn't come into this peninsula? What would you do? You guys think about that? Please consider how blessed we are in this country to be able to go to Publix and get some food. And now if you add a little bit to it, you know, there's a section of scripture in the Lord Jesus said in the book of Luke, I think, and woe to them who are nursing babies in those days. What would your kid do? You can't get your... What if your kid has some kind of allergy and you have to get him a very specific type of... What would you do? Think about it. And then ask yourself, man, am I glad I can pray to my Father and say, give us this day our daily bread. Thank God that your substance, your sustenance doesn't come from the work of your hands, because it doesn't. It comes from the blessing of God who said, I'll take care of him. Listen, verse 9 is huge, man. Don't ever forget that. Verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. I think he nails it on the head there. Has anybody ever had enough money? Does it exist? Doesn't exist. Verse 11, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? It's very interesting. You hear what he says? The more money you have, the nicer restaurant you can go to. And once you go to that nice restaurant, you're going to eat it. You ever eat a $100 steak? Took my wife to Abe and Louie's one time, and we got a two-piece steak. It was like 89 bucks. Like a two, it served two. It was a porterhouse. Man, you got to see what they do with these steaks. And these steaks, they hang them in special closets, and they age them until the meat's like half rotten, and then they cut off the rotten piece and then cook it, and it's the most tender. So save up some money. Hit Abe and Louie's one time. It's insane. But I ate it, and then my $100 was gone. And then I almost regretted it. If I didn't get a chance to sit next to the most beautiful thing God ever created, I don't think it would have been worth it. If I wasn't staring at her while I was eating that steak, it would never have been worth it. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. You guys, is that an amazing proverb? The man who busts his butt, we got this kid that works for us right now, his name's Paulo. Paulo comes from São Paulo, Brazil, and he gets to work at 8 o'clock. He leaves at about 10:45, he goes to the gym and he trains, he comes back, he eats lunch, he goes back to work. He works till 7 o'clock, which I make him now, because he refused to at first, take an hour break. When everybody leaves at 8, he stays till 11 making boxes. At first, I wouldn't let him work those hours. He's working 65 to 70 hours a week. And I said, listen, you have to have some rest. You have to have some sleep. And in his, he speaks a little Spanish. I speak a little Spanish. He speaks perfect Portuguese. My son speaks a little Spanish. Cole speaks a little Spanish. And somehow we communicate. And he says, if he doesn't work here, he's going to work somewhere else. So if I don't give him the work there, he's going to just go to work. He's going to work overnight in a restaurant. I bet when that kid lays his head down at night, I bet the angels dance in his dreams. And I did this one time. I did this exercise. I said, what if this was stacked with hundreds? What if I had about $50,000 or $60,000 in this thing? What if I just took hundreds and just folded them and stuffed them? Where would you put it? $50,000. What'd you say? You take it?
She needed a tissue.
Ain't that the truth? Do you really need a tissue though?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. There you go. 48,000. What would you do? Think about this. You have $50,000 in cash in a box. Where are you going to put it in your house? Exactly. Where? Okay, so you put it in your socks and you put it in your drawer. What happens when you go to work? What do you think you're going to be thinking about? Oh, really? You keep it with you all the time, then you're going to think about, man, if anybody ever finds out I got that. Listen, there's people dying for a whole lot less than 50 grand. There's people who will smoke you for 500 bucks if they knew you had it in your pocket. Huh? Seen it? $5? This $50,000 would cause you to lose sleep like you don't know. Where can you put it safe? Who did you tell about it? Did you know it was there? Was it a friend that you trusted once and now he's not your friend anymore? Who's it? Man, this is a smart proverb. The abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Verse 13, there is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt, but those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from the mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Pastor Bob used to put it this way, you never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. Armored truck, yep. There's a story in Brazil. There's a billionaire in Brazil. I don't remember the guy's name. He buried a Rolls Royce in his backyard next to where he's later going to be buried. Did anybody else hear that story? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He literally bought a Rolls Royce and he buried it in his backyard next to his grave, because how do you become a billionaire and be that stupid? Look that up. See if I'm lying. I read that story. It's a true story. Verse 16, and this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind all his days? He eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. Here is what I've seen, and it is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of his labor, in which he toils under the sun all his days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. You know how many times at my age people have come to me and said, Pastor, I got a will, and I want to start making sure that my kids are well taken care of. What do you suggest I do with my money? I say, spend it. Spend it all. And they say, no, but I want to, you know, the Bible says that your good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Yeah, man, like leave him a car or something like that. Yeah, no, but I want, let me tell you, if any of you guys know, and what are those kids called who have a trust fund baby? Boy, they make messes of their lives. Smart.
Not Jobs, the other guy.
Is he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Gates?
Gates. All his stuff. He publicized like where all his stuff goes. It doesn't go to his kids.
Enjoy it while you got it. Take yourself out to a $100 dinner. And remember who we're reading, please, guys. This man's at the end of his life. He's one of the wealthiest men that ever walked the face of the earth. Enjoy. Verse 1, chapter 6, let's breeze through this one and be done with it. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is a common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires. Yet God does not give him the power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it's an evil affliction. Anybody want to take a stab at what he's saying there? Say again? Tell me, what is he saying? Tell me something. Any of you people here who struggle every week to make a paycheck ever met a rich person and thought to myself, if I had their money, I would do things different? Some of the most unhappy people I've ever met are people that are very wealthy. It's crazy. That is an evil that... Isn't it crazy? Commit suicide. They. We watched Scrooge last night with the kids, Disney made like this really weirdly Jim Carrey's voiceover. Not Grinch. You're thinking Grinch. Jim Carrey does this voiceover of it's like an animated Disney movie, Scrooge.
No, that's Jim Carrey.
It's animated. Can't be Jim Carrey if it's animated.
I know, but it looks like.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of does now that you say that. It really does. They made it look like him, and he talks like this. It's a very interesting movie. Same situation. If a man begets 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he. For it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness, though it has not seen the sun or known anything. This has more rest than that man. Even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place? Well, we know where Solomon went wrong here. All don't go to one place, but I think the principle... Could be. Everybody dies, right? Every man dies, not every man lives. Braveheart reference.
Yes.
Got that? Verse 7, we're going to roll through this. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have? Who knows how to walk before the living? Better in is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Whatever one has, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? For who knows what is good for a man in life, all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Now, you can close your Bible if you want, is what we're going to last thought. Please understand, to read this stuff with the idea that Solomon has lost his way. He's forgotten who his father is. He's forgotten how powerful he is. This is the saddest thing to read. What he's talking about here, guys, is his own self. All of the things that he said about a man with riches who's not enjoying it, he's talking about himself. Whatever side of the page you're on right now, you can't tell somebody who doesn't have money that money won't make you happy. They have to find out for themselves. It's the craziest thing. And so many people, whenever you say that, say, yeah, well, I wish I would find out my way. You will. Yes. I've heard that. It is a sad state. It's a great evil we just read. Anyway, so we got some wisdom from the Word tonight. I hope you guys read it over, and I hope it enriches your life. Yes, sir. What Alex just asked is an amazing question, and I'm so glad he asked it, because it's exactly what he's done, is he's put himself in the position of Solomon, and he said, well, What's the proper balance then? If you're going to dream and work towards something that happens and you attain those riches, how do you avoid falling to the trap of being a miserable rich person? You make God your father. You follow what the Bible says. Do you think it was his money or lack thereof that made Solomon miserable? No, what made Solomon miserable is he forgot where he was going. He forgot what he was called for. He forgot that he sat before God as a child and said to God, give me neither riches nor poverty, but give me wisdom to run my family. Give me wisdom to run your people that I might do what you would have me to do. Alex, he forgot all about that. I stand before you, somebody who owns his own business. After 25 years, I am richer than I ever imagined I'd be. Now, to a rich person, I'm not rich. But I'm doing well, more than I ever dreamed of, and I couldn't be happier with my life. Because I have one wife, I don't mind spending my money where it needs to be spent, and yet I'm smart enough to still save enough for a rainy day. Because all this wisdom I got from my father. And guess where I am on Wednesday? I'm not counting my money. I'm not making sure my employees are... Did everybody lock up when you guys left? Just making sure. You understand, Alex? If you work toward your goal... You guys have all heard this story too. I'll say it again. People start coming to church here, and they usually come to church when their life is at the bottom. But things are so bad right now. I lost my job. My girlfriend left me. Blah, 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 blah. And we pray for them. They surrender their heart to the Lord. And the first thing that happens is God starts putting things in place for them. Here's your job. Here's a new relationship. Here's some peace in your heart. And guess what they do the vast majority of the time, unfortunately? Oh, I can't come to church anymore on Sundays. It's this new job that God got me. They want me to work on Sunday. And I say, that's not the Lord. No, no. This is a job I've always made for. Listen, if that job includes not going to church, believe me, it's not the Lord. Or they get this new relationship, and instead of being holy, we had a boo-boo. And here's what they always go, it just happened. Your pants just fell off? It just happened. No, it didn't just happen. You forgot God was watching every step you took, and you allowed it to happen. And then they can't figure out why the relationship goes bad, why they lose the job. They forgot what was the driving force in them coming to the Lord in the first place. And God's got to do that all over again. I don't know why God keeps doing this to me. Neither do I. And now after 20 plus years in the church, and I've watched, and here's what you see. You see people who you first started going to church with. Like, I've got some friends that I've been in the church with now for 20 years. They still struggle with the same thing they did 20 years ago. It's sadly embarrassing. It's hurtful.
Not everybody's like you, Ryan, man. Not everybody's got that dedication, that devotion. Not everybody has that strength that you have, man. You're just a disciplined person. That's how you were born.
I fooled you too, didn't I? Nope. I did one thing. I picked this book up 20 years ago, and I don't stop reading it. It doesn't matter how bored I feel some days or how busy I am other days, every single day. And God's word has transformed me little by little, inch by inch, precept on precept, line upon line. So, to over-breathily answer your question, Alex, when you don't neglect the little things, you find out that the little things are actually the big things. What if I said to you this, and I'm gonna belabor it a little bit more. What if I said to you, if you pray for that child that grows in your belly every single day, not just till she comes to this earth, but all the days of her life, I promise you, her life will not turn to ruin. Would you believe me? Will you do it? Do you know how many parents don't? People ask me, how did you raise such amazing kids? How do you have 6 amazing kids? What did you do? I just pray for them every single day. I didn't do nothing. It's not like I've walked some amazing life. It's not like I don't have my anger struggles and a lot of other struggles. I just pray for them. What if I told you that if you took 30 minutes out of your day and you spent 10 reading the Word and 20 in prayer, your life will never come to ruin. Never come to ruin. Would you believe me? How many of you guys sit here and go, I don't believe you. That's not the way it works. Anybody? Honestly. Then why don't we all do it? I will guarantee you more than half of the people that are here today did not spend time in the Word today, did not spend time in prayer today. Why? If you believe that, what do you think happened to Solomon? What do you think happened to this guy in misery? We have to learn from his misery. You know what evil I've seen? Rich people who don't enjoy it. That's what I see. No, that's what you lived, Jack. Because you got away. You forgot. And I'm telling you, it's only 30 minutes a day. That's all it takes. Read the Word for 10 minutes. If you read the Bible for 10 minutes every single day, after 3 years, you'll have read the entire Bible with good comprehension. 10 minutes. That's all it takes. Huh? Fair enough. I'm with it. Spend 20 minutes reading and 10 minutes in prayer. No problem. You'll be a little weirder, but that's okay. We love Tom anyway. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the wisdom that you've given us through Solomon. God, and we thank you that you've created life. I can't stop thinking about the baby that grows inside of Jamie's belly. I can't stop, God. I can't wait to see that child. Please, bless all the babies that are growing up in our church, God. I think about the moms in our church. I think about Angela. I think about the babies that have come forth. God, you've so blessed this church with beautiful babies. Lord, may we be wise with them and ever pray for them. We love you, God, and thank you, and pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.